If you join me in Bible study tonight, we're going to finish up the book of 2 Kings. We're in 2 Kings chapter 25. We're up to verse 25. And if you were here a couple weeks ago, I was going to rush through the last few verses and then said, you know, that's not the right thing to do. So as we finish up 2 Kings tonight, I want you to get a flavor for how much 1 and 2 Kings overlaps with the other prophetic books. So verses 25 to 30 of 2 Kings chapter 25 is described in greater detail in Jeremiah from chapters 39 to 44. So 2 Kings just summarized and left out all the details, because it's covered in other books of prophecy, so why just repeat it? And we could have done the same thing with Isaiah, as we're doing with Jeremiah, done the same thing with Ezekiel and shown all the overlaps. But the point that I want us to get from it is that before God brings judgment on the northern kingdom of Israel or the southern kingdom of Judah, He sent prophet after prophet to warn them and to call them to repentance and to let them know that if they won't repent, God's judgment's going to fall. And the people said, hey, we like our sins so much, let God do whatever he wants to do. And he did. So let's pick up tonight in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 25, with the murder of Gedaliah. If you remember in verse 22, the king of Babylon made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, governor over the people who remained in the land of Judah. What did it mean, who remained in the land of Judah? Well, Babylon had taken most of the people captive, but there were a few people left in the land, and he made Gedaliah governor, not king. Israel doesn't have another king until Messiah returns. Not a king of the Jews. Some of you might say, well, what about Herod? Herod wasn't Jewish. Herod was an Edomian, meaning a descendant of Esau, that was appointed by Rome just to offend the people. But Gedaliah was the governor. In verse 25, it says, but it happened in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama of the royal family, came with 10 men and struck and killed Gedaliah, the Jews, as well as the Chaldeans who were with him at Mizpah. Now open up to Jeremiah chapter 39, and let's see more detail about exactly what happened. This Gedaliah is the one that the Feast of Gedaliah in the Jewish calendar is named after. God did not require a fast to remember the murder of Gedaliah, but the people initiated one because it brought such horrible judgment upon the people. So Jeremiah chapter 39, beginning in verse 11, says, now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah, that's Jeremiah the prophet, to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look after him and do him no harm, but do to him just as he says to you. Why would Nebuchadnezzar give that kind of instruction concerning Jeremiah? Because he recognizes Jeremiah is the prophet, and you don't mess with God's prophets. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nebushashban, Rebsaris, Nergal Sharazer, Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's chief officers. Then they sent someone to take Jeremiah from the court of the prison and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should take him home. So he dwelt among the people. So Nebuchadnezzar orders Jeremiah to be returned back to the land of Judah into the care of Gedaliah, the governor. Meanwhile, the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for adversity and not for good, and they shall be performed in that day before you. Did you catch those two things in verse 16? The Lord of hosts, Adonai Zavaot, and in that day? So there is an end times prophecy here. In Jeremiah's day, there were false prophets prophesying in the city of Jerusalem, saying God will never allow the city of Jerusalem to fall. Are there false prophets in Israel today saying the battle of Gog and Magog, they can't hurt us. Armageddon, they can't hurt us. We're the strongest military in the world. We got God on our side. There's the same kind of false prophets. And if we remember from Zechariah chapter 14, Israel's going to fall. And the same thing happens in the days of Jeremiah. The false prophets are saying it won't fall. And Jeremiah is saying, yes, it will. And did it or didn't it? It did. Verse 17, but I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord. Again, the reference to in that day. Does God bring deliverance to the children of Israel and the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem in that day, in the day of the Lord? Yes, he does. Yes, he will. You shall not. It's a dual fulfillment then. And that's why you keep seeing all this end times prophecy verbiage into something that was fulfilled in the days of Jeremiah the prophet. And you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be a surprise to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. What happens to the children of Israel who put their faith in the Lord in the day of the Lord? They will be delivered. They will obey the Lord. They will be defended. They'll be protected. False Messiah can't get to them. Where do we read that? It's in Daniel 11. It's in Revelation chapter 12. Yeah. Going on to verse 1 of chapter 40. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him bound in chains among all who were carried away captive from Jerusalem and Judah, who were carried away captive to Babylon. That is important. God had told the children of Israel, when Nebuchadnezzar's army comes, go with them. Jeremiah was not disobedient to the Lord. He went into Babylon, assuming he was going to go into 70 years of captivity. It was the Lord who had Nebuchadnezzar send him back. What if Jeremiah had said, I'm not going, nobody can make me? There may not be a book of Jeremiah, right? He would have spent time in a fish, yep. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, the Lord your God has pronounced this doom on this place. Is that true? Had the Lord prophesied that Jerusalem would be destroyed? Yep. That the children of Israel go into captivity if they disobey God? Yes, he had. Now the Lord has brought it and has done just as he said, because you people have sinned against the Lord and not obeyed his voice. Therefore, this thing has come upon you. Why did God bring judgment upon Judah according to this verse? Because as a people, they had sinned against the Lord and not obeyed his voice. Have we as a nation been obedient to the Lord? Have we obeyed his voice? Has the church as a whole been obedient to the Lord and obeyed his voice? No. Since God does not change, should we then expect judgment to fall upon our nation? We should. And now look, I free you this day from the chains that were on your hands. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will look after you. But if it seems wrong for you to come with me to Babylon, remain here. See, all the land is before you. Wherever it seems good and convenient for you to go, go there. Now, while Jeremiah had not yet gone back, Nebuzaradan said, go back to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people. Or go wherever it seems convenient for you to go. So the captain of the guard gave him rations and a gift and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people who were left in the land. And when all the captains of the armies who were in the fields, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam the governor in the land, and had committed to him men, women, children, and the poorest of the land who had not been carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, Yochanan and Yochanan the sons of Kareah, and Sariah the son of Tahumet, the sons of Ephi the Netophathite, and Jezaniah the son of Amachathite, they and their men. And Gedaliah the son of Ahikam the son of Shaphan took an oath before them and their men, saying, "Do not be afraid to serve the Chaldeans." Who are the Chaldeans? The Babylonians. "Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, I will indeed dwell at Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans who come to us. But you gather wine and summer fruit and oil, put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that you have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews who were in Moab among the Ammonites in Edom, and who were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, that he had set over them Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, then all the Jews returned out of all the places where they had been driven and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruit in abundance. Moreover, Yochanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him, 'Do you certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to murder you?' But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, did not believe them." He was warned, but he did not believe them. Then Yochanan, the son of Kareah, spoke secretly to Gedaliah in Mizpah, saying, "Let me go, please, and I will kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Why should he murder you so that all the Jews who are gathered to you would be scattered and the remnant in Judah perish?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said to Yochanan, the son of Kareah, "You shall not do this thing, for you speak falsely concerning Ishmael." Chapter 41, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the royal family. What's that mean, of the royal family? A descendant of David? How does he feel about Babylon establishing a governor to rule Judah instead of a member of the royal family as king? Very jealous, right? And of the officers of the king came with 10 men to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, at Mizpah, and there they ate bread together in Mizpah. What does it mean that they ate bread together? There's something in Jewish custom called table fellowship. When you sit down and have a meal with someone, you accept them, you consider them your equals, and you enter into a covenant of salt with them. So Gedaliah trusts Ishmael. Then Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him arose and struck Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and killed him whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also struck down all the Jews who were with him. Why? Because they were serving Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. That is, with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. It happened on the second day after he had killed Gedaliah, when as yet no one knew it, that certain men came from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, 80 men with their beards shaved and their clothes torn, having cut themselves, with offerings and incense in their hand, to bring them to the house of the Lord. Are these good, God-fearing men? How do you know? They cut themselves. That's a pagan tradition. Verse 6, "Now Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went along. And it happened as he met them that he said to them, 'Come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam.' So it was when they came into the midst of the city that Ishmael the son of Netaniah killed them and cast them into the midst of a pit, he and the men who were with him. But 10 men were found among those who said to Ishmael, "Do not kill us, for we have treasures of wheat, barley, oil, and honey in the field. In others, we have hidden treasures, and we will pay you not to kill us." So he desisted and did not kill them among their brethren. Now the pit into which Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was the same one Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael the son of Netaniah filled it with the slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters. Please note that. The king's daughters. All the king's sons were put to death before the king's eyes were put out. Remember, before he was taken to Babylon? But he had daughters, and people forget them. And all the people who remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Ammonites. But when Yochanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, had done, they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, and they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. So it was when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Yochanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces who were with him, that they were glad. Then all the people whom Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned around and came back and went to Yochanan, the son of Kareah. But Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, escaped from Yochanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. Then Yochanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him took from Mizpah all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, after he had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the mighty men of war, and the women, and the children, and the eunuchs whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. So there's the rest of the details regarding the murder of Gedaliah, how it happened, why it happened. And it happened as a rebellion against Babylon, even though it was the Lord our God who commanded the people of Judah to go to Babylon. But a member of the royal family said, not only are we not going, but we're going to take back our country. And it didn't go very well, as we're going to read. So back to 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 26. And all the people, small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and went to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans. That's what we were reading at the end of Jeremiah chapter 41. But what had God commanded them? Don't go to Egypt. Do not go to Egypt. But what did all the people, small and great, and the captains of the armies arise and do? They went to Egypt, even though God had absolutely forbidden it and said, if you go to Egypt, you're going to die. So let's read about it. Let's go back to Jeremiah to chapter 42, verse 1, and see what happens when the people set out for Egypt. The reason I pointed out the king's daughters in particular is because of some legends that exist in this world that may or may not be true. So please make a note, this is not Bible, it's just legend. What they say over in the Celtic countries like Ireland is that Jeremiah went to Egypt with Baruch his scribe and with the daughter of the last king of Judah, whose name he calls Tiatephi. And Jeremiah had Baruch take her to the British Isles, where she intermarried with the Celtic royalty. And that's why the British royal families claim descent from David, because she was from the line of David. But Let's see what the Bible says, because we're not here to discuss stories. Jeremiah 42, verse 1. Now all the captains of the forces, Jochanan the son of Kareah, Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petition be acceptable to you and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard. Indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you. What is that? That's an oath that they will do exactly as the Lord commands them to do, or else, right? Or else. Verse 6, whether it's pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Notice verse 7, God does not always answer the minute you ask. Jeremiah had to wait 10 days to get an answer. Then he called Jochanan the son of Kareah, all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will still remain in this land that is in Judah, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster that I brought upon you. Look at verses 9 and 10. The Lord says, you went into captivity, the rest of the people, because you were so disobedient you wouldn't listen at all. He said, if you're now ready to listen, like you told the prophet, you told Jeremiah, you do anything I ask of you. He said, just remain in Judah, and you'll remain there forever. Verse 11, do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return your own land. But if you say, what's that word if? Condition. So verse 10 began with if. If you will stay in the land, if you will obey this one command, all the blessings. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. So verse 14, if you say no, we're going to go to Egypt because we don't believe you'll provide for us. We don't believe you'll keep us in safety. We don't believe you'll give us food. Then, verse 15, then, hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Uh-oh, the Lord of hosts. What kind of prophecy? In time, so there's a dual fulfillment here. In the midst of the tribulation period, the false Messiah will set up an abomination of desolation. The Lord said in Matthew 24, 15, when you see that abomination, flee. Flee over to where? To Petra in Jordan. What happens to the people who flee in obedience to the word of the Lord? They'll be protected. What happens to those who say, I'm not going and you can't make me? They're going to die. So dual fulfillment. If you'll obey the word of the Lord, then God will bring blessing. And if you harden your heart and say, no, I will not do it, then you're going to incur God's judgment. That's the question that came up last week about hardening your heart. The word for hardening is not hardening, it's strengthening. When the scripture says, when Moses went to Pharaoh in Egypt and the Lord hardened his heart, it means he gave him courage not to give in to the fear. It doesn't mean God made him mean or that God made him angry or that God wouldn't let him obey the word of the Lord. It meant it gave him courage to do what he wanted to do rather than give in to the fear.
That's the same as Psalm 27:14.
And what does Psalm 27:14 say?
Watch and be strong, and then God will strengthen your heart.
Watch and be strong, God will strengthen your heart. There, why do they translate it strengthen instead of harden? Because the English translators, well, sometimes they want to sway us. God does not make anyone sin. And unfortunately, that's what people take from the story of God hardening Pharaoh's heart, is that God made Pharaoh sin, and then God judged him, and that's not fair. God's not fair. We need to be very careful before we call God unfair. Remember in the book of Isaiah, they called God unfair, and God said, nope, I'm fair, you're not fair. Okay, back to verse 15. Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, meaning if you will not be dissuaded, if you will not let me talk you out of it, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, meaning what? You're going to die there. The famine of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So it shall be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape. How many will remain or escape? None of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I'll bring upon them.
Except the prophet, right?
We'll read on. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out in the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. You shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach. You shall see this place no more. Now, wait a minute. The people, the remnant, are in Judah. They asked Jeremiah to go petition the Lord and will do whatever the Lord says. And the Lord comes back to Jeremiah and says, lay out these two options. Hold out your two hands. Essentially, it's live or die. Now choose. Verse 18, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. You shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach. You shall see this place no more. The Lord has said, concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt! Exclamation mark. Does that sound like a suggestion? No. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. What's that word admonished mean? I have warned you. I put you on notice. But you still get to choose. You still get to choose. For you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it. Uh-oh. What does Jeremiah say in verse 20? You were hypocrites in your hearts, meaning you had no intention of listening to the Lord. You wanted me to come back and tell you what you want to hear. And if I tell you what you want to hear, you do it. But if it's not what you want to hear, you had no intention of listening. Verse 21, I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has sent you by me. What does verse 21 mean? You haven't listened to a word I've told you from the beginning, Jeremiah says. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to dwell. Let me ask you this. If Jeremiah had just told you that to your face, do you think you would have said, no, I'm going to Egypt anyway? How many people out there will listen to the words of the scripture and say, nah, I'm going to continue in my sin anyway. Hell can't be that bad. I'm sure they've got a beach. No, they don't. Chapter 43, verse 1, now it happened when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent to them all these words, that Azariah the son of Hoshea, Elchanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. He says, you lie. You didn't tell us what we wanted to hear. Can't be true. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt to dwell there. Really? How many out there think Jeremiah was lying? Nope.
Well, he didn't in the past. Everything he said before came true.
Verse 3, but Baruch, the son of Neriah, has sent you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death or carry us away captive to Babylon. So Elchanan, the son of Kareah, all the captains of the forces, and all the people would not obey the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah. But Elchanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah who had returned to dwell in the land of Judah from all nations where they had been driven, men, women, children, the king's daughters, again, the mention of the king's daughters, and every person whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. So they went to the land of Egypt. They what? They went to the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord, and they went as far as Tophanes. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in Tophanes, saying, take large stones in your hand and hide them in the sight of the men of Judah. Can't you imagine the looks on the faces? Jeremiah takes big stones and starts to bury them. In the clay, in the brick courtyard, which is at the entrance to Pharaoh's house in Tophanes. And say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Again, there's an end time component here. Behold, I will send and bring Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne above these stones that I have hidden. Meaning what? Babylon's going to conquer Egypt. And he will spread his royal pavilion over them. Why did they go to Egypt? To get away from Babylon. Where's Babylon coming? To conquer Egypt. When he comes, he shall strike the land of Egypt and deliver to death those appointed for death, and to captivity those appointed for captivity, and to the sword, those appointed for the sword. I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captive. He shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garment. He shall go out from there in peace. He shall also break the sacred pillars of Beth Shemesh that are in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians he shall burn with fire. Chapter 44, verse 1, just 30 more verses. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews who dwell in the land of Egypt, who dwell at Migdal, in Tophanes, at Noph, in the country of Pathros, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the calamity that I have brought on Jerusalem and in all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no one dwells in them. Who's left in Jerusalem? No one. Because of their wickedness. What's another word for wickedness? Sin or lawlessness. Which they have committed to provoke me to anger. In that, in case they want to know what we do wrong, they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they did not know. They nor you nor their fathers. In other words, they turned away from the Lord our God to worship pagan gods and disobeyed all the commandments of God, but obeyed the commandments of the pagans. Verse 4, however, I sent to you all my servants, the prophets. All my servants, the prophets. Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah, prophet after prophet came and preached repentance. Rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense to other gods. So my fury and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as it is this day. Now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why do you commit this great evil against yourselves? God had told them, I set before you life and death, choose life. And they said, no. It goes on to say, to cut off from you man and woman, child and infant out of Judah, leaving none to remain. And that you provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt where you have gone to dwell. That you may cut yourselves off and be a curse and reproach among all the nations of the earth. Notice that. Those that fled from Jerusalem to Egypt are quite willing to go in and worship the pagan gods of Egypt. Any god will do except for the Lord our God. Is that not the way the world is today? Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, the wickedness of the kings of Judah, the wickedness of their wives, your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah in the streets of Jerusalem? They have not been humbled to this day. What does it mean they have not been humbled? Meaning they have not been willing to return to God and submit to his authority and walk in his ways. Nor have they feared. They have not walked in my Torah or in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Do they claim to believe in the Lord? Absolutely, they claim to believe in the Lord. That's why they sent Jeremiah to go to the Lord and ask what we should do. But there's a big difference between believing in the Lord and having faith in the Lord and being willing to humble yourself and to walk in his ways. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for catastrophe and for cutting off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah who set their faces to go to the land of Egypt to dwell there, and they shall be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. They shall die from the least to the greatest by the sword and by famine. And they shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. So that none of the remnant of Judah have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they return to the land of Judah to which they desire to return and dwell. For none shall return except those who escape. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. How many times does God have to call us to repent before we're willing to humble ourselves? Verse 17 says what? Listen to this, people. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth. Meaning what? We'll do whatsoever we please, whether God likes it or whether he doesn't. To burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven today is a term for Mary, the Madonna. But what does it mean here to the Queen of Heaven?
The
sun god? Semiramis. To Semiramis, to Ishtar, to Astarte, to Isis, whatever term you want to give her in whichever language. The one we paint Easter eggs and have little bunnies for, and pour out drink offerings to her as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Oh my goodness. He says, we will go back to Jerusalem and we will worship the pagan gods there and you can't do anything about it. Uh-oh. For when we had plenty of food and were well off and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have left everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. So all those blessings God had provided upon the people, who do they ascribe those blessings to? The Queen of Heaven. And who do they ascribe the judgments to? The Lord our God. And they say, we'd rather worship the Queen of Heaven. The women also said, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her? Those are the hot cross buns and things, yeah. To worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without her husband's permission? In other words, don't blame us, they did it too. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, the men, the women, and all the people had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burn in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And did it not come into his mind so the Lord can no longer bear it? Because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed. Therefore your land is a desolation, an astonishment, a curse, and without inhabitant, as it is to this day. Because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, or walked in his Torah. Why does he keep saying that? Nor have you walked in his Torah. Because here's something that I was made aware of this last week. When you hear the word worship, what comes into your mind? I was listening to pastors on YouTube say, that means the songs we sing in the service. That's not what worship is. The word worship in Hebrew comes from the verb work. It's when we are obedient to God that we worship God. When we're obedient to someone else, we worship someone else. It's not who do you sing to. And it's not who do you dress up for. And whose fellowship do you walk into? It's whose commandments do you keep? Think back to the Garden of Eden. God said, don't eat from the tree. Satan said, eat from the tree. And they obeyed Satan, which means they worshiped Satan rather than God. Oh, my. Back to verse 23. Because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord or walked in his law, his Torah, in his statutes or in his testimonies, therefore this calamity has happened to you as at this day. So Jeremiah says, you want to know why it's happened? It's not that you stopped worshiping the pagan gods. It's because you were worshiping the pagan gods. That's why the judgment fell. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her. They're spitting in God's face, right? Really, they're spitting in God's face. You will surely keep your vows and perform your vows. Oh my. The Lord says, you're going to serve the pagan gods all right, all the days of your life, which are going to be very few and far between. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. Behold, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good. And all the men of Judah in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them, period. Yet a small number who escaped the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know whose words will stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign to you. What's that word sign?
Oat.
Oat. Means every time you see this, remember my words, says the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words will surely stand against you for adversity. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, into the hand of those who seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy who sought his life. Which means the sign is Egypt will fall to Babylon so that you will know you have escaped nothing. Okay, let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 25.
By the way, what was the starting verse that you used?
For verse 26, it was Jeremiah 42, verse 1. We went through 44, verse 30. So from Jeremiah 39, verse 11 to chapter 44, verse 30, that expands on and explains verses 25 and 26 from 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 27 says, now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year they began to reign, released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison. Evil Merodach was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He's mentioned very rarely in the Bible. He didn't reign very long. And it was the king after evil Merodach, called Belteshazzar, who had this great drunken orgy in Daniel chapter 5 and used the cups and goblets that were taken from the temple of God to toast the pagan gods. And God wrote on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. So verse 28, he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life. Why did evil Merodach release Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison and let him eat from his table and take care of him the rest of his life? What lesson did Nebuchadnezzar learn late in life after he ate grass for 7 years with a coat like an animal? When he finally came back to his senses, he says, the Lord is God. And they started treating the Jewish prisoners and captives a little better. Having finished 2 Kings, what do we say? Chazak, chazak, v'nish, chazek. Be strong, and may we be strengthened. For how are we strengthened as believers? By studying the Word of God. And by the way, that word chazak, strengthen, is the word that's translated hardened, referring to Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to stop the recording now. We'll come back in a minute and begin First Chronicles.